Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Hurricane Milton, it is still described as a catastrophic Category 5 storm. It's out the Gulf of Mexico. Top sustained winds. Sustained winds still at 155 miles an hour. Expected to make landfall tonight just south of Tampa, St. Pete, probably around Sarasota. It could weaken a little bit. It's expected to, in fact, before it arrives, but it is still expected to be a strong Cat 3. Wind speeds 130 miles an hour as it begins cutting across Florida. You're talking about a storm surge between 10 and 15 feet of water in those coastal communities. So yesterday, we spoke with Amy Lynch in Orlando. Orlando's about an hour and a half inland, and she rejoins us now with the latest on what's happening with her.
Again, I wish I was there with you.
we wish you were too. Yeah, absolutely. You told us yesterday that you're sticking it out. Is that still the plan?
Yeah, that's still the plan. You know, this is the crucial time where all Floridians are like glued to our TVs and our radios right now, and you know, broadcasters like you all like are lifeline to what's going on. And basically right now, we're just waiting to see which way it wobbles. It's wobbling a little bit more southeast. So for us here in Orlando, we're still going to have the winds and the rain impact, gusts up to 90 miles an hour, which sounds really crazy. But we all, you know, most of us are used to that part. And if we can just, you know, stay on that track, we're going to come out of it just fine. But yeah, we feel really safe here in Orlando. We've got a great community, and so we're all sticking it out together.
Talk about the traffic situation. I imagine there are a lot of people closer to the coast. They couldn't get out now even if they wanted to.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, for those of you that were listening yesterday, you know, there is a main artery, which is I-4, and that runs from Tampa to Orlando. And on any given day, it's terrible. Now you try to evacuate everybody. And, I mean, there were people sitting on there for over 6 hours just to get from Tampa to Orlando, which is normally an hour and a half to a two-hour drive. You've got people now, they opened up the lane, so everybody was going north, which is great. And, of course, they suspended all the tolls. But you had people just sitting. And now, for those that did not evacuate, they are basically telling everyone, you're on your own if you didn't. You know, we have our property over there as well. So we, all of our community over there, our friends, our loved ones over there, they evacuated on Monday, because the storm surge is what going to be awful. And then with all the debris that is still there, they did not have time to pick it all up. That's what's going to be really impacting the conditions as they deteriorate.
Yeah, flying shrapnel and things like that. I know you mentioned just a second ago that other property. Are you expecting the worst with that?
I gotta tell you, my anxiety right now is on an 11. Yeah, honestly, we are, because we had 3 feet of water in our house, as did most of our neighbors. We sit right on the canal, right across the street from the Gulf. So that surge is what's going to impact again and then move all that debris, which will end up in the water. So even if you're going by boat, I don't even know what it's going to look like, to be honest with you. We ripped out all the drywall because you have to think about what happens after. You've got mold, you've got humidity here in Florida, which I know you guys know in Texas, when it's hot, it's hot.
Yeah. All right. Well, Amy, listen, stay safe. I know you're in Orlando. That helps a little bit. You're not right up against the water, but Milton is coming, and it is a monster. That is Amy Lynch in Orlando. with us on KRLD talking about some of the preparations there. She mentioned yesterday the stores have been completely cleaned out already.
Yeah, I just talked to a friend of mine who lives in Tampa. And I asked her, I said, what are you going to do? She has her older mother who's in her 80s. And I guess her aunt is staying with her. And she says, you know what, we're going to stay. They're not directly in Tampa, but they think it's going to veer a little bit. But she says, you know, we can't get out right now. If we wanted to hit the gas out of here tonight, it would take us hours just to move, you know, 20 miles.
Amy mentioned the traffic situation. It reminds me of when Hurricane Rita hit down along the upper Texas Gulf Coast. And I-45 from Houston to Dallas, they turned it, they made it completely one way northbound to get everybody out of there. And still, it was just gridlock, 250 miles of gridlock of people trying to get out of Houston, people running out of gas.
Yeah, my cousin, he drove 8 miles in 3 hours and said, I'm not doing this, and pulled off and went back home. And they hunkered down, and I guess.
And that storm surge. She mentioned 3 feet, which was enough to, you know, inundate their beach house. They're talking about 10 to 15 feet. Yeah. I saw a really interesting computer CGI.
I saw that same thing.
Did
I was
see
just going to say, it was awesome. No, I shouldn't say awesome, but yeah. With, 3 feet is one thing.
3 feet will 3 feet will float cars.
Yes. You're talking about 15 feet, 12 feet?
There's
unbelievable.
There's no surviving that. So I want you to listen to this audio I got the other day walking down the Midway. Just stimulation coming in from all sides, and flashing lights too. I mean, it can be overwhelming if you're a person who is sensitive to that sort of thing. But what if you could just make it all go away? Well, for the sixth straight year, the fair is doing just that. Every Wednesday, they're calling it a sensory-free trip to the fair. The fair's director of communications, Taylor Pulfer, she's with us right now to talk about it. I never knew about this, and this is just the coolest thing in the world. Did you come up with this idea? Was this yours?
It was an idea of mine that I brought to our leadership team, and we're very fortunate with our full-time team here that we wear a lot of different cowboy hats. And so by bringing this idea to them, they really took it seriously and let me run with it and see what changes we can make across the grounds to really provide that inclusive, accessible environment.
So what is the idea? Who are we trying to help here?
That's right. So the general idea is that anyone with sensory sensitivities could benefit from this, whether you have a child who has autism, maybe it is someone who suffers from migraines, maybe someone with PTSD, or just someone who generally wants a less overwhelming environment.
Epilepsy with the flashing lights, right.
This is a day for them to come out and enjoy the State Fair of Texas, just like everyone gets to each year. And having those traditions, we want everyone to know that the State Fair of Texas is a place for folks from all walks of life.
All right. I cannot imagine powering down the State Fair. How does this actually work?
So, as you said, I mean, we can't take away all of the stimulus at the end of the day, but what we can do is we can turn off all the flashy blinky lights, we can reduce all of the sounds, the music, and try and make it as least stimulating as possible. We also provide a quiet zone, so knowing that at the end of the day, there might be a stimulus that sets off your child or an adult, and you need to step away and depressurize. And so we've got a quiet zone located on the Midway for those situations. And just in general, our employees know that we have this initiative. And so to be patient and showcase their Texan-tude out here as folks might need a little extra grace.
Is it possible some of these people might stay away from the fair otherwise?
Yes. We actually, last year, for the first time, we had a new partnership with Johnny and Friends, and they actually registered families, which gave us that data and information to collect feedback. More than half of those families had never been to the State Fair of Texas before.
Really?
Because they didn't feel like they could. They just felt like it was going to be too overwhelming. They were going to get here and they'd have to immediately leave. And so I think we're really opening the State Fair to a whole new audience with this initiative.
I think it's really cool. It's a great idea. 8 years you guys have been doing it. And in fact, we just, in terms of feedback, we just had a listener, a KRLD listener, come up.
Yeah, she went down there. Pam, I believe.
Julie.
Wherever you are.
But the point is, she brought her granddaughter because of this, of this sensory-free day that she brought her granddaughter, and they're having a great time at the fair. Just
kind
Let me
of,
ask
kind
you
of
real quick. What have been the feedback quiet. From people like that, though? Have it just been...
That's the best feedback. It's just thank you. People are so grateful to feel included and to feel like the State Fair really means it when we say we welcome folks from all walks of life. And we want to provide an accessible and inclusive environment at the end of the day. So we're still open to feedback. We're not perfect, but we do listen to that feedback that folks provide. And even this year, some feedback we got that you and I might not think about, but using a restroom for a child with autism can be very overwhelming. So all of the sounds of the faucets, the flushing, the air dryers, so even entering that restroom could potentially send them home. So we actually got a restroom donated by Sunbelt that's specifically for sensory-friendly mornings.
That's
to
awesome.
Provide that quiet, accessible option for
Great
them idea. So they don't have to leave.
Great
idea. Situation.
Taylor, listen, thank you so much for stopping by and for this. Exactly. And the work you've done at the fair. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Taylor Pulford, Director of Communications at the State Fair of Texas on this. And it's Wednesday. It's every Wednesday,
right? That's
right.
Every
Wednesday.
From 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Come out and see us.
There you go. Right when the gates open, it's a perfect time to be here anyway. Taylor, thanks so much.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking news now. News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Breaking news out of Dallas. Several police cars on the scene of a major wreck on Spur 408. Several cars are involved. There are injuries. We're getting more details for you on this. It's a very active scene. Again, this is northbound on Spur 408 near Grady Niblo.
Well, with Hurricane Milton expected to cause unprecedented damage in Florida, Texans on Mission is already en route.
Another hurricane, another contingent from the Dallas-based group. This time, Rand Jenkins says they're going to Florida. They're a little more than halfway now, and they'll wait for the storm to move out before they move in. Jenkins says they're sending
two large generators, a combined kitchen unit that would do about up to 20,000 meals, and a large trailer that helps volunteers mud out houses that have been flooded.
The group already has crews in eight cities scattered across five states helping clean up after Hurricane Helene. Jenkins says they're hoping for more volunteers and more money to keep the helpers helping. From the 24-hour news center, LP Phillips News Radio 1080 KRLD.
With that hurricane moving towards Florida, there are people happy to get out.
Most flights between DFW Airport and cities like Tampa and Orlando are canceled, but a few arrivals from Jacksonville on the Atlantic coast are still on time.
It wasn't really that bad. Not much turbulence, so smooth.
I talked to some people arriving who say this trip was planned ahead of time, but now that they know they're getting out of the way of a hurricane, they're glad not to have to deal with traffic on the highways.
We had the outskirts, barely even the outskirts. Yeah, I was planning to come here and then the hurricane, so I just moved the flight up.
The roads were getting busy.
But they say even before leaving home, they were starting to see the effects, with one guy saying his office building was already starting to flood. At DFW Airport, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's now 4:05. Now, the Fort Worth ISD just hired a superintendent a couple of years ago. They're now going through the process again. Dr. Angelica Ramsey resigned last month, and the school board now has voted unanimously to name Karen Molinar interim superintendent.
Whatever changes are necessary, the board will support me. We've had that conversation, so I'm looking forward to seeing how we can just really have success for our students.
Molinar started as a teacher in Fort Worth 27 years ago, was an interim superintendent before Ramsey was hired in 2022. She says she wants to close achievement gaps, build community partnerships, and make Fort Worth ISD more efficient. The name of a fallen Fort Worth sergeant, Billy Randolph, now etched in stone, added to the Fort Worth Police and Fire Memorial Wall. The 56-year-old was struck by a wrong-way driver back in August while working a car crash scene. As we hear from NBC 5's Alana Quillen, dozens turned out for today's memorial ceremony in his honor.
Sergeant Randolph's wife and children were at today's ceremony, and they say his memory will be forever etched in their hearts and minds.
As a police officer's family, you know the risks that come with the job. Even so, we could have never prepared our hearts for the pain we feel by the huge hole that has been left. and seeing his name on this wall.
Sergeant Randolph was an Air Force veteran and served nearly 30 years with Fort Worth PD. Now looking ahead, his name will also go up on a memorial wall at the state capitol in Austin, as well as the National Memorial for Fallen Officers in Washington, D.C.
A 25-year-old woman is now charged with intoxication manslaughter in Sergeant Randolph's death.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.